He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace.
Well, we're in the book of Ephesians. We're talking about His promised grace. The grace that was promised to us before any of us were born. The grace that was promised to man before man was even on the earth. The grace that God Himself gives to us because of His loving, awesome, majestic love that He has for us. What is going on in your life today? I want you to think about that just a minute. Are you rich? I personally believe I am rich. In fact, when I read the scripture that says it is harder for a rich man to go into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, I get concerned. Because I consider myself rich. God has given me such abundance in my life that I know that I am in the top 1% of the world in wealth. Have you ever thought about that? I believe most of us in this room, maybe all of us in this room, are in the top 1% of wealth in the world. Are you rich today? What are you doing with that wealth? Are you poor? If you're poor, then I want to address you for just a second. And I want you to begin to understand how majestic is the Lord's name in all the earth. If you believe that you are poor and yet God has saved you from a sure eternity in hell, then I want you to rethink your life and understand the abundance that you have. Because see, being rich or being poor is a state of mind. And in fact, if you are in Jesus Christ, it is a state of being. We are rich. No matter what state you are in. Paul said that you need to learn to be content at whatever state you are in. Because God is taking you through that for a reason. His grace will see you through whatever you're going through. And many of us that walk with our face downtrodden at times, talking about what we don't have, it's time that we look up and understand what we do have. There are so many people in the world that would look around this building and would envy. I'm not saying that that's a good thing. Envy is not good in the Lord's eyes. But still, they would look at this building. They would look what we have. And they would so much want to have what we have. The Lord has blessed this church so much. And yet there is so much more that He wants to bless us with if we will allow Him to. If we don't begin to become complacent with the things that we have now, but continue to aspire to what God wants us to be, aspire to that perfection that He wants us to be in our life. Are you to that perfection that He wants you to be? I'm going to answer that for you. No, you're not. You may be content with where you are, like Paul says that we should do, but we also must have vision that we continue to look forward to what God wants us to do. When He says that we will be perfect, when we are reaching for perfection, that means that's that ongoing process. It's called sanctification. It's that big word that some we use in Christian circles, sanctification, which is just a big word for saying it's a process. It's a process of learning what God wants us to be. It's a process of working towards fulfilling the grace that He has already extended to you. Are you afraid to step out into that grace? Abraham was a man that was an idol worshiper. Knew nothing about God, but when God came to him and spoke to him and He said, I want you to step out and I want you to go places that you've never known and I want you to see people that you don't know and I want you to leave what's comfortable behind you and I want you to continue on. And Abraham stepped out and he began to walk, not knowing where he's going. God is calling you to do the same thing today. He is calling you to step out to places that you don't know, to people that you don't know, that you don't recognize. We have been comfortable far too long in this Christian world that we live in. God wants to use us. Are you dead? Don't hear many amens on that one. Are you dead? There are many walking the streets of America today that are dead. The symptoms of America today is that we are the walking dead. As we walk around the streets, we stand in line with, we eat at restaurants with the walking dead. Many of them have a fake smile plastered on their face, thinking that everything that they are doing is wonderful and that they are living the epitome of the American dream at the moment, not knowing where they're going for eternity. And yet we carry around inside of us the gift of eternity on a daily basis, not wanting to give it out. This is a gift. It's mine. I don't want to give this to anybody. It won't be mine anymore. The coolest thing about God's gift that He gives us, the gift of eternal salvation, is as we give that gift, He multiplies that gift to us. Are you dead? The people that are walking around this city, this area, this region, they don't know that they're dead. They think that they're living out every single thing that they can, and in fact what they're trying to do is fill the hole in their heart. They're trying to fill that empty space that they've got that they can't understand. But I know that if I work harder, I'm going to fill it up. And I know if I get enough education that I'm going to fill up that hole. And I know if I get the right wife, I'm going to fill up that hole. And I know if I get the right husband, I'm going to fill it up. And I know that if I drink enough or if I socialize enough or if I, whatever it is, enough, I'm going to fill up that disparity that's inside my soul. I'm going to fill that up. And then as they reach that new car that they were seeking for, the new house that they were seeking for, maybe the drug high that they had, maybe so much alcohol, or maybe just the love relationships that they, or maybe not, I'm not even going to say relationships, the love affairs that they have throughout their life trying to fill up that hole. And each time they get to that, they say, man, that hole's still there. We see it in Hollywood all the time. We see it in our political officials. These people have all the money and they have all the power and they still do not have enough because they are seeking to fill the hole. We have to understand the grace of God that God gives to each one of us, that He has given us eternal security in Jesus Christ. To know that that hole has been filled by something that cannot be explained. And that is the love of our Lord and Savior. And He wants us to share that beginning today. Not tomorrow. I don't want you to wait till you get home tomorrow. To work tomorrow, I mean. I want you to begin to consider how you can help someone to fill that hole in their life. Michael Jackson was disturbed, couldn't sleep, had everything. Marilyn Monroe had everything. Elvis Presley, they had everything. You can go down the list of all of these that are seeking and searching, and we still see the same today in our society, in every aspect of our society. If you look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous, that you will see that's a very long list of people who are searching to fill the emptiness that's within them. What is your need today? What need are you sitting there with today? Do you know that God, our Lord, is majestic in all of the earth? And He will fill you to abundance. He tells us in John 10:10 that He has come that we might have life, and we will have it to the full, is what the NIV says. We will have it to the full. He will fill your life today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Perhaps you've tried to fill that hole in another way. Perhaps you've tried yoga, or you've tried materialism, or you've tried some other religious experience. But you probably found, like all, that it is a lie straight out of the pits of hell to try to get you to believe that this is the way you fill that hole that's inside you. All of the symptoms I've described is because the Americans today are the walking dead. However, Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 says, it is by grace you have been saved. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have taken Him inside your heart and you have placed Him as Lord of your life, you have been saved. You don't have to wait any longer. It has happened. You have been saved. You are seated with Jesus in heavenly realms. Remember, we discussed that last week. You are seated, not you will be seated, not you got to wait till you get to heaven. You are seated with Jesus in heavenly realms. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are today seated with God in heavenly realms. And why would that be? Why would that happen? Because of His promised grace, because of His grace that He has told us it will happen. Since He has told us it will happen, we can be assured that it has happened already. It's already done. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions. And I believe each one of us knows that we were dead in our sin. I don't care if you came to Jesus when you were 6 years old or 60. You were dead in your sins. In which you used to live, you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The Spirit, small s. The walking dead of America are walking around in the spirit of those who are disobedient. Because they know of God. But they want to follow their own lustful desires. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They won't be in control any longer. And we know we're Americans. We're free. We are in control. We each drive our own car. I don't care if you're 16 or 60. However many licensed age people you have in your house, you probably have a car for. We don't need any of that mass transit nonsense. We're free. We're free people. We don't need God. We have control over our own destiny. Oh, really? What is your plans for the day after you die? I'm just curious. I'd just like to know. How does that work? Where are you going to be meeting? Have you lined up all the people that you're going to be talking to? Of course not. But because of the grace, His promised grace, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression, it is by His grace you have been saved. It is by His grace you have been saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, chances are you don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, listen up. Listen closer. You know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I'm talking to that one that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I'm talking to those that are listening on the radio within the sound of my voice. Don't know Jesus Christ. Titus 3:3-5. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. And so, we no longer walk in the little S, the little spirit, the spirit of man, the spirit of disobedience. We walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that now dwells in you. Christ has raised us with Him. He's raised us with Him and seated us with Him, Ephesians 2:6-7, and seated us with Him in heavenly realms. He has raised us with Him and seated us already. Does it sound like you can lose that? Absolutely not. I know there are many today that believe that you can get saved and you can fall out of salvation and you can be saved again and you can fall out again. That must be like a yo-yo in heaven. Because we're seated with Jesus and we're not seated with Jesus. And we're seated with Jesus and we're not seated with Jesus. We should be spiritually buff. We're running up and down them stairs so much that we should really be something else. We're Arnold Schwarzenegger in a white robe. We are seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly realms. In order that the coming ages might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:5, if you had been united with Him like this in His death, we certainly also will be united with Him in the resurrection. He is talking about those who have been baptized in Jesus Christ. Those who have made the profession of faith and were buried in symbolism and were raised again. And we are seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly realms. And third, God has given you eternal salvation through Jesus. He has given you. He's waiting for you to accept that, by the way. If you haven't accepted that, it's already been given. It's already been paid for. I went to my niece's birthday party yesterday. And boy, there were so many presents she didn't know what to do. She didn't know which one to go with first. But as usual, now she was 2 years old and she wanted to play with the paper. We understand that. You know, that, what do you call it? The tissue paper. She wanted to play with the tissue paper, it seemed like, for the longest time. Pretty soon she got over the tissue paper and she started going after those presents. See, each one of those people at that party had already given the gift. There was not one at that party that after was gone and had maybe seen it was open or maybe it was overlooked. I don't believe there was one at that party that was going to, okay, well, I picked that gift back up and let's just take it back to the store or I'll give it to my own kids. No, they had already given the gift. They were just waiting for her to receive it. Maybe she didn't receive it yesterday, which I think actually she did. She pretty well, after that, she was pretty much scouting for presents. But she pretty well received all the gifts. But if she had not, the gift was already given. And the gift that has already been given to you is God is waiting for you to receive it. Which includes the gift of salvation, but it also includes the gift that God is waiting for you to receive that you might continue to glorify Him in His ministry. He has something for you to pick up. He doesn't want you to leave it on the table any longer. He wants you to reach over there and pick it up, unwrap that gift. In seminary, they've found a new term that they like to use a lot, and it's they want you to unpack it. We're going to unpack these certain scriptures. We're going to unpack this in the scripture. He wants you to reach in there, and He wants you to unpack that gift that He's given to you. Because He's already given it to you through His grace. He already knows what He wants you to do. He wants you to receive first Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And then you that have been walking in Jesus for 10, 20, 50 years, He wants you to reach out and take hold of those other gifts that He has for you that you might be able to walk in the abundant life that He has promised you that you cannot do without the promised Holy Spirit. It is not enough that you have received the gift. Trust me, if the little girl yesterday in the party, Roxley, is her name, by the way. I do know her name in case some of you were concerned that maybe I didn't know my niece's name. Roxley, if she would have received those gifts and then thrown them down, still no one would have taken them back. I believe there would have been some hurt feelings, though. Even from older mothers, you know, still it's like, man, what I bought them just... Have you ever done that? Have you ever given somebody a gift? Even if it's a little kid. You give them this little gift and you're all expecting them to be all excited and they look at it and say, oh, okay. They throw that one down, they go on to the next one. Isn't it a joy? And I'm not a good gift buyer, okay? My wife does all the gift buying. How many of you guys ever get to Christmas, you know, and you're sitting there and you're unwrapping all the gifts and somebody way across the room says, hey, Rick, thanks a lot. And I'm like, you betcha. No problem. That's great. Man, it's what I was looking for. Yeah, okay. Good. Have you ever given that gift that you picked out? And maybe it's not even. Most of the time, the gifts that I've found that this happens with are just really some little insignificant gift that I don't even. And I give them this gift and their face just lights up. Especially if it's a little kid. Face just lights up. And they put all the other gifts down to play with your gift. Have you ever done that? Doesn't it just make your heart light up? And you give that gift. And that's what God has done. He has given you that gift. He wants you to take it up. And He wants you to possess it. He doesn't want you to throw it back down again and go on looking for something else. He wants to bless you with what He wanted to bless you with. Because He knows it is the best gift. For you, He has given you eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then after you get that gift of salvation, He gives you that gift of the Holy Spirit. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Or ashamed of me as His prisoner, Paul speaking in 2 Timothy 1:8-9. But join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. The grace that He gave you was given to you in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. I can't grasp that. I can't grab onto that. That's difficult. But boy, I accept it. I don't understand it. But man, I'll tell you, I receive it. I receive the grace of God through His eternal salvation. I receive the grace of God by the gift of the Holy Spirit that He has given me. I receive the grace of God by the gifts that He wants me to do to manifest His glory. Whatever they are. It doesn't matter if they're embarrassing to me. It matters if they glorify Christ. It matters if God tells me to pray for someone to be healed. Well, God, I can't do that. What if they're not healed? So what? That's for God to decide. He wants you to be obedient. He doesn't care anything else. He wants you to be obedient. Now, whether or not He chooses to use your hands, it's not even the point. Abraham walked on this earth. Abraham was obedient to God. Abraham was promised that he would have more descendants than sand on the seashore. Did he see that? No. No, he did not. And what is to say that you, by your obedience to God, as you go and you pray for that person, that God doesn't use that for one more seed towards the healing of that person? Maybe the healing that you're praying for is a spiritual healing and you don't know it. You don't really know what it is that you are to pray, I don't believe. God has told you to go pray with someone. You do it. If they're sick, you pray for their infirmity. God will do the rest. If they need spiritual healing, you go pray for their spiritual healing. God will do the rest. It's not your hands that's going to do the healing. It's not your hands that are going to do the blessing. God's hand. God wants to use every single one of us. We in America have become complacent. We have the walking dead and the spiritual complacent. We know about the things of Christ. We're lazy and don't want to share them. God wants us to share what He has given to us. If you're dead today, you can be alive. You can have eternal salvation today if you don't know Christ as your Savior. If you're within the sound of my voice, God has a vision for your life. God has a vision for this church. God has something that He wants us to do. And it's really very simple. He wants us to proclaim His Word. It's very simple. You can throw out all the formalities. It's a very simple process. He wants us to proclaim His Word. He wants us to spread His Gospel. That's what He wants us to do. It's very simple. It's not, we try to make rocket science out of it. We try to come up with programs. We try to come up with all, it's nothing of the sort. It's called, you see someone at the store, you tell them about Jesus. You see someone at the doctor's office, you tell them about Jesus. You see someone at the restaurant, you tell them about Jesus. Now, how you choose to do that, I don't know. Invite them to church. Make sure you tell them you're a Christian. Ask them if you want to pray for them. I'll tell you something that's very effective. I don't do this enough, but I've seen a man who does it, and maybe this will fit your personality. I'm not sure it fits mine yet, or I'm trying to work it in there, but it's great. Very quickly, and then we'll be done. We were sitting there, there's a friend of mine, Tim Moore. We were sitting there at breakfast one day. And this was the first time that I'd ever eaten breakfast with him. And of course, we're going to pray over our breakfast. And the waitress walks by and asks for our order. And he says, you know, we all told her what we wanted. And he says, in just a minute here, we're going to pray for the meal. And we wanted to know, is there any need that you have that you might want us to pray for? And boy, she was... Now, this is the first time I'd ever eaten with Brother Tim, okay? And so I wasn't taken aback, but at the same time, I just perked up. He probably could even see that I just perked up in my seat. I said, boy, I've never heard this before. And of course, it really put her aback. She just almost snapped back. And then she stood up straight. You know how waitresses are. They're all writing, getting ready to write. And then, you know, and then he says that, and she puts her pad down, stands straight up. She said, I don't think so. I think everything's okay. Well, okay, he said, I just wanted to make sure. We wanted to lift up whatever need you have to the Lord as we pray for our meal. No, I think it's okay. And she left. It wasn't a couple of minutes. She came walking back. She said, you know, I've been thinking about it. There really is something that you could pray for. And she told us a need in her life that we could pray for. You see, everybody wants you to pray for them. Many people want the blessings of God. They just don't know how to get it. Many people are waiting for you to tell them how to get it. One more quick story. There was a pastor I was talking to one day. He said he was going to this, he just came to this new area. He joined the Ministerial Alliance. There were 10 ministers. After their meeting, every time they always went to breakfast at this one place. And I may have told you this story before, but if I haven't, there'll be some out there who haven't heard it. So they go, it's his first time to go to the breakfast. He sits down with them. Actually, this was not told by the man who did this. This was another man who was ashamed, and he should be. He sat down, the new minister sat down there. The waitress comes up, takes everyone's order, and he said, you know, we're all a group of ministers from the Alliance, and we're going to sit around here and talk about Jesus. I want to know if you want to know about Jesus. And she put down her pad and her pencil. She pushed him over, and she sat down in that chair. All the other ministers were amazed. And they looked at her. She said, you know what? I have been waiting on this table for 10 years. And I have been waiting for someone to tell me about this Jesus that I've been hearing about as I bring them their water and coffee. I've been waiting for someone to ask me that question. And she sat down and he led her to the Lord. Right there. You see, it's ingrained into us in our society that people don't want to, we don't want to impose ourselves on someone. People don't want to hear what we have to say about our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. They don't want to hear about how majestic God is. But on the contrary, that is a lie of Satan out of the pit of hell. They are starving. They are thirsty. They want to be fed. They want to be watered with the bread of life and the spring of the Holy Spirit. They're waiting for you to tell them about Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we come to you, Father, and we just thank you so much for all that you are, for all that you do, for your love for us, for the grace that you have given us, even though we are undeserved. I thank you for these that have come today to hear your word. I pray in Jesus' name, you will make us soldiers for the cross. You will revitalize us and revive us and remove the complacency that has laid on our hearts for far too long. Father, I pray you will turn that complacency into joy and into fervor and into excitement as we battle the enemy. I pray, Father, you will fill us with your Holy Spirit today. Give us a new filling. Revitalize us as we walk and as we leave. We give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the Gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the Gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to hisgospelpower.org hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come.